Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today. And Jim, this is a little bit of a stretch on the good martini, but it's good in the sense that it exposes that Hillary Clinton may well have chosen her running mate because he embodies a character trait that she is often exhibiting on the campaign trail, and that is taking whatever position is necessary at the time to further the narrative. Tim Kaine, of course, over the years has tied people in mental knots with his position on abortion, saying he's personally opposed to it, but who is he as a lawmaker to do anything about it and to tell anybody else what to do about abortion? He also was very strongly in favor of offshore drilling as a senator from Virginia, but now that he's Hillary Clinton's running mate, he's staunchly opposed to offshore drilling. Also, back in 2002, he said that President Bill Clinton, 4 years earlier, should have resigned over his conduct in the Monica Lewinsky scandal. That statement has been revived in the past few days. And while Kaine was on the campaign trail in Iowa, he was asked about it by a local news reporter.
20 years ago, I was disappointed, like a lot of folks were. But I'll tell you, there's no reason to relitigate problems of 20 years ago when what Americans want to talk about is what do we do today and tomorrow. And so as I'm campaigning all across the country, people are saying, what do we do to get an economy growing again with prosperity that's shared? How do we make sure we're strong in the nation with strong alliances in the world? How do we make sure we build up a community of respect? So past controversies aren't really important to the voters. They want to know what we're going to do tomorrow.
But that report, it was true from back then.
It was not inaccurate. That's true.
So, Jim, just to recap, a story about a prominent Democratic president who is the spouse of the nominee doesn't matter in this situation, but manufactured scandals from a long time ago, like Mitt Romney had to face, are totally fair game.
You thought those Olympic gymnasts were flexible, huh, Greg? look, credit where it's due, Tim Kaine has positions. And if you don't like them, he'll show you other ones. Tim Kaine has this persona of the goofy suburban dad. Gosh golly, gee willikers. And, you know, he gets along with everybody and he's respected. Look, you know, he's very upset about Bill Clinton. But he's not going to, you know, like, we're not going to bring it up now. Yeah, I totally believed that when I was governor. But it's totally different now, you know. He is a wet noodle, which is kind of what he's supposed to be, I suppose, for the Hillary campaign. There's no doubt about who calls the shots and who determines things. And look, and if you want a lapdog as running mate, fine. If you want a yes man as vice president, fine. I think a lot of presidents like having that. All things considered, though, I think it is kind of revealing both about Kaine and Clinton in this, and that ultimately, what are their positions? Whatever they need to be to get through the day.
Speaking of politicians, let's move to the second martini, the bad martini, and this is probably true for Milwaukee as well. And we talked about it earlier in the week about how it was not nearly covered as much as other police-involved shootings, and we speculated in part that it's because of the clear-cut details of the case. There might be other reasons for that as well. But another issue that has certainly been hugely destructive this week, but not getting much attention from the media or from the president or even the two-party nominees, is the deadly flooding in Louisiana. The story from CBS says that the death toll from the storms and the flooding in South Louisiana is now up to 13. 40,000 homes damaged by the flooding. I've seen some estimates, Jim, that the number of people displaced from their homes is as high as 100,000. In many parts of the state, the water is actually still rising or expected to crest sometime today. President Obama, of course, is on vacation, hasn't bothered to do anything other than, we should point out, sign the Louisiana Disaster Declaration, which is important, but not even a written statement, much less stepping up to a microphone for a short verbal statement on camera to talk about it, much less interrupting his vacation to actually go down there and support the people of Louisiana. Obviously, for Republicans, it harkens back to the withering criticism that George W. Bush got, and in some parts deserved, for his response in the early stages after Katrina. But we're seeing a very different reaction, not only from politicians, but from the media, which is covering it, but nowhere near to the extent that it's covering things like the Trump change of command in his campaign.
Yeah, and you would think 40,000 people losing their homes and basically a community that not that look was like 2-3 weeks ago, the shooting of the police officer was major national news.
Right.
Right, Greg?
Right.
And it's all of a sudden as if, boom, here's something that's affecting a much wider group of people. If you haven't been reading the blog of Rod Dreher over at the American Spectator, do so. He's on the ground and just kind of giving a fascinating and kind of gripping and kind of heartbreaking look at how it's affecting people on the ground. Visit redcross.org to help out if you feel like you want to do so. This is a page A4 intersection story so far, and it's the second time in a week it has been this way. I think you and I talked about the Milwaukee shootings and how it seemed like that had gotten much less attention than we had seen from events like Ferguson and things like that. And if you're a cynic, you look at this and say, well, okay, there's no Republican to blame. I actually had one person on Twitter today, Greg, saying, well, why isn't Bobby Jindal doing something about this? For those who pay attention, Bobby Jindal's second term, he was term limited. His second term ended in January. And it's the current Democratic governor, John Bel Edwards. Now, you know, the state government is responding. I hear people – there was an Atlantic article that said America is ignoring the hurricanes. Well, okay, I guess you might argue that. But it's not like, you know, Joe Schmo walking down the street has a lot of you know, is going to know about this unless the media tells them. I'm doing more than a two-paragraph story on the inside of the paper. If this is not given big play on the news networks, on the evening news, on social media – it's not going to get out there. And part of it is, you know, that Hillary Clinton sent out one tweet. As far as I know at this point, Trump has not addressed it. And the president has remained on vacation the whole week. 2005 wasn't that long ago, right?
Right.
At that point, it was a really big deal that the president was still on vacation as this terrible natural disaster was hitting Louisiana. But, you know, if you're cynical, you look at this and say, okay, well, there's no Republican to blame, so the media just isn't that interested in it.
Some of the pictures there are just absolutely horrifying, seeing people's lives torn upside down. And of course, Louisiana, since it's below the floodplain in many places, the cemeteries are above ground, and seeing those floating caskets going on is just extraordinarily eerie. On to the Crazy Martini now, and it's a follow-up to Monday's Crazy Martini when we talked about Ryan Lochte, the well-decorated Olympic swimmer for the United States, having a gun pointed at his head and robbed along with three teammates just outside the Olympic Village on Saturday night or perhaps very early Sunday morning. And that story is the one he told to Billy Bush, and we had the clip on that. The police in Brazil are not buying it because apparently in the conversations with some of the other swimmers, there are some inconsistencies. Now, Lochte, who is the only one of the four who is back in the United States, has changed his story, saying, no, there was not a gun to my head. It was pointed in my general direction. He also said it didn't happen just outside the Olympic Village where people posing as police officers did it, but it happened at a gas station, and the security footage from the gas station doesn't appear to show anything untoward going on there. So the Brazilian police hauled a couple of the other U.S. swimmers off a plane yesterday. Some passports have been frozen. Those swimmers aren't going to be allowed to leave the country until they give statements to the police. So, Jim, I don't know if this was majorly embellished, if he was extraordinarily drunk and doesn't really remember what happened, if it's completely fabricated, but something is wrong here, and apparently what we thought we knew on Monday is not the case at all.
Yeah, and maybe we should have been a little more skeptical or wary about little details that didn't necessarily add up. It seemed very weird that Lochte's mother was the first to say so. International Olympic Committee denied it. Now, look, the International Olympic Committee lying, you know, 9 times out of 10, that's a safe bet. You put your money on that, you're going to make your money back over the long run. But the story of him saying, oh, whatever, when the guy put the gun to his head, oh, that did seem a little exaggerated in light of this. But the details I was hearing yesterday on Sports Talk Radio, as I understand it, now again, maybe this Sports Talk host has the details wrong. Allegedly these thieves were disguised as cops, indicating a certain level of sophistication, a certain level of professionalism. As I understand it, Greg, they didn't take the watch. Does that seem a little odd?
It does.
His boots are apparently like really expensive. They didn't take them either. Maybe they didn't fit. Oh, that guy's got big feet. Never mind. I'm not going to take the boots. Little things like this. And then the last thing, you know, Lochte leaving with his three other guys back in the country, not making it look good for him. The story is now getting a little bit fuzzier. They've changed some of the details. What happened, we don't know. The reports, as we are taping this, that there was some sort of confrontation in a gas station. We'll see how this shakes out. It would be kind of regrettable. And you know, maybe I should give myself lashes with a wet noodle, kind of like Tim Kaine, to say, you know, I bought into this because I'd heard so much about the crime in Rio de Janeiro. And read so much about how many problems the city was having in hosting Olympics that it seemed very believable to me. And now it's indicating that there are lots of little things that don't add up, like he returned to the Olympic Village at a different time than he said he did. He and his buddies do not look like they've just been mugged or had some sort of traumatic experience of joking around with each other. This doesn't disprove the story. It just kind of emanates a little bit of an odor. It'd be kind of surprising after all this that if, you know, after one of the biggest stories and one of the biggest and most discussed aspects of the Olympics turns out to be, you know, potentially either a hoax or perhaps a wild exaggeration.
Yeah. Lochte doesn't have the greatest personal reputation. He's obviously an outstanding swimmer. I haven't heard as many stories prior to this one at this Olympics, but in London, you know how they give the athletes, they set aside hundreds of thousands of condoms. I think about 50% of those were reserved for Ryan Lochte based on the stories that were coming out of London. And two other things, just in case you're thinking, wow, this story just goes to prove that Rio's not that bad. Here's two quick stories just to prove that's not true. A member of the British Olympic team in Rio has been held up at gunpoint while enjoying a night on the town. The news has caused deep shock among British athletes and officials. It has also led to an unprecedented warning to Team Great Britain members that it's, quote, not worth the risk to leave the athletes' village because of fears they might be targeted if they're seen wearing British gear. British track and field officials responding to the news by sending in emails to athletes warning them that they would leave the village at their own risk and to report to team officials if they dare to go outside the bounds of the Olympic Village. Not to be outdone, a top Olympic official was arrested for illegally selling tickets for the Rio Games, according to multiple published reports Wednesday. The arrest of Patrick Hickey was part of a larger probe into tickets allotted to Ireland that were being scalped at the Summer Games. He faces three charges, which, if convicted, could lead to as many as 7 years in prison. So, Jim, just clean as a whistle all the way around here.
Well, one thought is, we know the Irish. second thought is, you know, don't go outside. Don't go beyond the wall. Isn't this sort of thing they say in, like, zombie movies? It's not safe out there. But I have to. If Lochte made up the story, this is like the best turn of events that Rio could possibly hope for, because this will turn into the giant story. And the other reports of the judo player and the other team members and coaches who've been mugged will kind of recede into the background. So Ryan Lochte, you know, if this really is made up, may have ended up doing Rio the biggest favor he possibly could. They should be celebrating him, never mind, you know, denouncing him.
On that note, we'll see what craziness we can dig up for tomorrow. Jim, talk to you then.
It's a high bar to clear. See you tomorrow, Greg.
It's Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to tune in again on Friday for the next Three Martini Lunch.